welcome. You are here with Dr. Nilda Perez with Business Foresight, creating strategies towards your extraordinary future.
Hello, and welcome back to another Dr. Nilda Business Foresight Show. And today I have with me, and I'm super excited, to have Michael Michalowicz. And let me give you his bio. So Mike Michalowicz is an entrepreneur of the $3 million business company. He is the author of Profit First, The Pumpkin Plan, which is the first book that I read of yours. Business Week deemed the Entrepreneur's Cult Classic, and The Toilet Paper Entrepreneur. Mike is a former business columnist of the Wall Street Journal, and he is a former business makeover specialist on MSNBC. Today, Mike travels the world as an entrepreneurial advocate, speaking to groups pretty much like ours, and he is globally recognized as the guy who challenges the outdated business beliefs, which I love. And he teaches what to do about it. So welcome, Mike. I'm so excited to have you here.
Dr. Nilda, it's awesome to be here. Thank you so much for introducing me.
I love this. I met you literally before knowing you through your first book.
Oh, there you go.
Nice. There I am.
Nice.
And then I read this one. And ever since, I've just been following everything that you do, all of your books. I have all of your books. Many of which I lend out because
awesome.
I just think your stuff is amazing. So where I want to start is how you started with this.
My background is I'm an entrepreneur. As you shared, I've had the great privilege to have built and sold three multimillion-dollar companies. But during those processes, it sounds so great. It's like, what a wonderful resume. I went through some severe struggles. In fact, one time I was in depression for a couple of years because while the businesses were growing, I wasn't successful. I wasn't making money. I wasn't able to sustain. I was refinancing my house multiple times to cover payroll. Only when I sold those companies did I ever make some money. And what I realized in retrospect is I didn't understand the disciplines of being a successful entrepreneur. I thought that we just, the goal is to strike it big one day. But really, entrepreneurship is a marathon. We are in for the long haul, and it's going to be a tough trip. So what I started doing, actually, when I was in depression, I started journaling. One of my friends suggested that as a way to navigate some of the emotional struggles I had at the time. And I was writing it down. And as I was writing out thoughts, I was like, oh my gosh, here's a way to fix my business. Oh, here's a way to improve things and fix mistakes I was making in my business. Well, this journal ultimately became enough content. It's like, this is really a book. I should write a book. And when I thought I should write a book, that struck a chord with me because I felt almost called to do it. It's an absolute passion. I love being an author. This is what I do full time. And subsequently, I strategically positioned my books for marketing purposes right there. But
that's right. Absolutely.
Yeah. But that's what I've done. So I write books. I actually am submitting a new manuscript for a new book to my publisher this Monday. And so in a few days from now.
Okay. Fantastic. So tell me about your entrepreneurial journey. Like what, most people go to school, get a job. That's the majority. And right. There's very few of us that take that entrepreneurial step, which, as you said, it's a struggle. It's not easy peasy. It's really a real commitment to a mission, and a mission that's bigger than you. And I love that you said that, because then you realize that the book, that your journal was not for you. It was something that you had to share.
Right.
So when did you realize that? When did you realize that this was your passion and that you were created to be an entrepreneur?
So right after college, I didn't find my passion right away, but after college, I couldn't get a good job. So I worked at a local computer store. That was the job I got coming back out of school while searching for that lifetime career job. And this was back in the early 90s, by the way. Then one day I said, why am I working at a computer store? I can run one myself. I'm going to start a computer-based business. And that was kind of the trigger. I did it and didn't realize how hard entrepreneurship is. I thought that, the boss sitting in the back room just sitting there writing down stuff in his book while I was out front at the computer store selling everything clearly he didn't have to work. Like, that's the life of the entrepreneur. So I'm going to do it myself. Well, I didn't realize how much effort goes into behind the scenes, financing the business, getting customers in the door, all these different things. And it was a brutal awakening to what entrepreneurship is. The one interesting thing now I see in retrospect is I was terrified at that time because I couldn't get business. I had to do anything it took just to get some money in the door. And what I realize is fear is actually a very powerful tool for a period of time because it gave me the energy. I woke up at 5 a.m. and I worked till 5 the next morning. I was relentless in making this work because I had to. Right. And I think fear is underrated. I think people say, no fear, but I think it's a good tool for a period of time. I think if I stayed in that state of just pure panic all the time, that it would result in overwhelming stress and ultimately will kill you.
Absolutely.
So I just leveraged fear to push me forward. And it was over time, a few years into being an entrepreneur, I said, I really actually like this. And then many years later, I asked myself, what is my calling here in entrepreneurship? And how can entrepreneurship be a platform to do what I feel is my purpose and my passion? And that became ultimately being an author.
Okay, fantastic. Okay, but you do, I mean, and I love your books, but you do more than this. Right, you do so much more. So talk to me about the other things that you do, because are you still a businessman? Are you still an entrepreneur?
Yeah, I own 3 businesses. So just to finish my entrepreneurial journey then, I had a company in computer networks was my first business. I sold that to private equity. I had a business in computer crime investigation. That was a fascinating business. And that was acquired by a Fortune 500. I really got the bug for entrepreneurship, but also didn't really understand entrepreneurship. I had some real good fortune come my way. And I thought it was actually my smarts that got me there. But it was really lucky timing. My company did part of the Enron trial. And I was like, oh my God, look at me. Enron wanted me. No, I was in the right place at the right time. And I grabbed the opportunity. There's no question about it. But I was really at the right place at the right time. Enron made my business, put my business on the map, and we took off. So today, while I'm writing books, it's interesting how many opportunities present themselves. One is people have read my books that are business owners. Some come to me and say, I want you to be a consultant for me. Are you willing to consult for me? And I don't do any consulting. I just don't have the time. But then they'll say, well, would you be an investor in my business? Meaning, will you take a part of the business just for the consulting work? So it's like almost a quid pro quo. And there's been a couple opportunities. One was in a manufacturing business. Another one was in an augmented reality. I said, I will volunteer a portion of time for a piece of the business. So I have those businesses, augmented reality company in the architectural space. I have a business that manufactures leather parts, leather items. And then my other business, though, is Profit First, which is right there.
Right.
Profit First got so much momentum. That book, knock on wood, has really caught traction. When the first person emailed me about the book, they didn't ask a question about the book. They asked a question saying, I want to hire an accountant or a bookkeeper that knows this method of Profit First so that I can get their direction. Who can you introduce me to? And that was an epiphany moment. So I started a membership organization for accountants and bookkeepers and coaches, teaching them this methodology of Profit First. And now they go and support people who, once they've read the book, to really instill the methodology in their business. And we have 190 active members now throughout the globe that are doing this.
Oh, fantastic. Okay, that's fantastic. Cool. So is it fair to say that your entrepreneurial journey has really evolved? It has opened doors each time you take a step, even to write a book, it's opened doors to other things that you never imagined.
Yeah, no question about it. The doors open, many doors open. And so I think the challenge I've had is picking the right door, or more importantly, not trying to go through 2 doors at once. There's so many opportunities that present themselves. I'm like, oh, I can go here. I can do this. I can do that. And I think I know if I do it all, it's impossible. Right. It feels possible, but it's impossible. And I get overwhelmed. So yes, many doors have opened. I've learned, and I'm getting better at the discipline of actually declining opportunities, because I realize an opportunity dilutes me from what I'm trying to do now. So yes, the entrepreneurial journey is a constant opening of doors. And I'm just trying to be very selective in picking the one that I think is I can serve best. And many times saying no, so I can stay focused and really do a good job in what I'm trying to do currently.
Okay, fantastic. So right now we're in the process of yet another book. And this book is, what is the direction of this book?
So the book is going to be called Clockwork. And it's funny, what I do is I speak with a lot of my readers. And so every book I've written has been in response to what my readers, I believe, need next. So when I wrote The Pumpkin Plan, the next thing they wanted was, I wrote in Surge. And when I read, they read Surge, the next thing they wanted was to control profitability and really master profit and cash flow. And that's why I wrote Profit First. Now, the most common thing I hear is when a business is growing and a business is profitable, that doesn't necessarily remove the stress of the owner. In fact, it could amplify it. So many of my readers say, I'm exhausted. I'm stressed out. I wish the business would run itself. I wish the business could just run like clockwork. And that was it. So I started to research organizational efficiency and really got into the meat and potatoes of what makes a business super efficient and what doesn't. And then I've called it down in a very simple method where I believe any business can do just a few things and experience immediate operational efficiency and growth. With a lot less stress on the owner.
Okay, fantastic. Okay, so what I do is I innovation is at the core of everything that I do, and I'm a business foresight strategist. And what that is that I help businesses understand the future, understand their industry, so that they could start. Because, and as you know this, you've been writing for quite a number of years, and you see that there's a difference in the way that people are doing business, not only how they're doing business, but what's making them successful. What made them successful yesteryear is not necessarily making them successful today. So with that change, how do you position businesses for the future? How do you help them?
So that's great. So ironically, Surge, which I have right there, that I dedicated that book to anticipating the future and positioning ourselves in front of it. The analogy I used is a surfer. You know, surfers go out in the ocean, and what they do is they look for a wave. It's called wave spotting.
Right.
And then they paddle in front of it as hard as possible, and they catch one wave. I think a lot of businesses are trying to spot all the trends that are going on out there. In fact, they're looking at all the waves.
Absolutely.
And then they try to paddle and catch all the waves, which is impossible.
Right.
So there's a few principles. One is we have to look for what I call imminent trends. If you look at a wave coming or a surfer, they'll look at the next two or three waves out. They don't look for, you know, what's a mile out in the ocean. That's not even a thought in their mind. They evaluate what's imminently upon them. One example I talk about, you know, nowadays is the electric car versus the autonomous car. Electric cars are imminent, meaning it's been proven there's consumers wanting electric cars, but electric cars are not the dominant force in the market. There's now potential that it will replace the traditional, you know, gasoline engine. So the imminent trend now is the growth of electric cars. And I think that's what we need to investigate. Now, the question, of course, is what's the services and products you offer? If it's not even in that space, ignore it. Don't worry about it. Focus on that trend. So you have to pick the spot to surf. How to do this, by the way, is you pick your niche. Pick the community that you want to serve first and find out the trends that are going on.
Right.
I picked, once I had Profit First, I picked the accounting community, and I've researched out what's going on in the accounting and bookkeeping community extensively. And I know that the imminent trend and change that's happening, and I've put my business right in front of it. And that's why my business is growing so well. Not because I'm particularly smart, not because we're a great company. I think we have great elements. I think we're a wonderful company. But I think the biggest thing that's moving us forward is we put ourselves to serve an imminent need. So going back to those cars, there's an imminent demand for electric cars. But the autonomous car, which, you know, a lot of people talk about, cars that drive themselves, where's that going? Well, do you know anyone that owns an autonomous car right now? The answer, of course, is no. And if you don't, that means that trend is possible. There's no question about it. And it could be magnificent, but it's not upon us right now. So for me to make decisions in that market would be a mistake. So I find that we have to look at our niche, identify the community we want to serve, and then research out what's happening now. Easy way to do it, by the way. I go into Google and I say, what's happening now in the accounting space? Like literally that's all I had to do. And I start getting articles about all these different changes with technology going on. So if you're if you provide auto parts, you can say, what's going on in the auto parts industry? And they could say, you know, with the rise of the electric car, we need more efficient supplies or parts for cars that don't consume as much electricity because there's only so much electricity in a car. I don't know what it is. Right. But I know we have to look at what's our niche, what's imminent, and then make moves to get right in front of that wave and serve what we can see coming.
Absolutely. I love it because that's exactly what I teach. Exactly. Mm. And understanding the trends in your industry, not just the trends in your right. industry, but what are the things outside of that industry that can impact right. your business? You have to know that because you can be working really hard and there may be something in another industry that's going to put you out.
I totally agree.
And that's what happened with Yellow Pages. Right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They got
exactly.
wiped out. I think the mistake that some people make is I've had people come to me and say, hey, Mike, what's the next big thing? Tell me about it. And I'm like, right. be real careful here. There's a million next big things. And if you're looking way out there, but your calling, your passion, your purpose is here and you're looking there, you'll actually get diluted and pulled away. So just like you said, we have to first pick the area we want to surf and then look at all the factors that are influencing it, for sure.
Absolutely, absolutely. And again, what I teach is a small, like an evolution of change.
Yes.
Don't just dismantle your company and start it all over again because there's the next big wave. You know, it's about making those small changes towards that future. And that's what I loved about, you know, and that's what I love about all your books, that you really, you know, break things down and you make it, you simplified it. And that's what people need in business. And nobody has the time to dismantle their business and redo it, especially right. when you put so much effort into it. But there are small, consistent, small changes that you make that can make a huge difference.
Yeah, I agree. It's I do a presentation and I share that most businesses are trying to fix 95% of their problems when in fact there's only 5% of the business that needs to change. You know, right. it's the Pareto principle where Pareto, he shared the 80-20 rule. That was his thing. 20% of your business, modifying 20% of your business will have 80% of the effect or benefit. So we have to look for the smaller things or the fewer things that have the bigger impact. And focus our attention there. I agree. Trying to fix everything is the worst move. It actually, here's the other irony. I've been studying manufacturing principles. And one thing in manufacturing is they call it the one dial at a time. If there's a problem in my manufacturing line and I change this dial here and that dial there to fix it, something may happen. It may actually get fixed, but then I don't know which dial did it or was the combo.
Right.
Other times it may not be fixed. I turn two dials and it doesn't fix. It means that maybe this dial fixed it and then this dial broke it. So I don't know which one was the cause. So in manufacturing, the basic principle is turn one dial, observe the result, then put the dial back and try the other. I believe ultimately every business is manufacturing something. We're manufacturing right. the service or experience that people are having. We're making an end deliverable. And I think when we make these changes in our business to improve it, turn a dial and then measure, then turn the next dial. Don't turn all these things simultaneously.
Exactly. Absolutely. Absolutely. That's perfect. I love it. That's exactly the way we need to, you know, it's like anything. I think the reason why people are so resistant to change is because they feel that they have to change everything.
Yeah.
But if we make small changes, like even in our diet, small changes, but consistent changes, and now you start seeing an improvement. You don't lose 20 pounds overnight.
Right.
But the consistency is how you lose that weight. And then you start seeing changes in your health. And then you start seeing changes, but you make one life change. And it's no different in a business. It's a living organism. I tell people all the time, it's a living organism. And this is how you just make those small, consistent changes. Look at the areas in your business that you're wasting time or not either not making revenue or making very little revenue. And just, change that. Just make a switch with putting something that's innovative and something that is going to make a difference one thing at a time. Do that for a while and then move on. Absolutely. Go ahead.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. So tell me, where do you see your company in I don't know, 5-10 years?
Yeah, so we have some clarity. So right now, I told you we have 190 members. We anticipate within the next 5 years or less, we'll have 1,000 members, maybe actually even sooner. And what a member means is a accountant or bookkeeper or coach that's out there providing profit first services to entrepreneurs. And what 1,000 means to us is our average client serves an average of 100 other people with Profit First. So 1,000 people out there delivering Profit First to 100 companies, that's 100,000 companies being affected. Mm-hmm. And those companies, in fact, if their profit really improves, and we're convinced it will following Profit First, will touch other people. We really think, and this is our mission, our mission is to eradicate entrepreneurial poverty. 83% of small businesses are surviving check by check. They're impoverished. We think if we can affect 100,000 small businesses every year through our 1,000 members, that will start the trend to start reversing that and make more businesses profitable than the ones that are failing. So that's our mission and our calling and what I'm super excited about. And I think we're about, if we keep up this rhythm within 5 years or less, that we'll have those 1,000 key members and be having a real impact on the economy. That's our goal.
Fantastic. So now the membership is just for the accountants and coaches and
yes.
Or it, okay. And so somebody with a business like myself
yeah.
would be a part of that membership or would be pulling from that membership?
Pulling from it. So we have entrepreneurs contact us constantly. Actually, 15 inquiries already came in this morning from entrepreneurs throughout the globe who said, I've read Profit First. Now I need help with it. I want to go in deep with Profit First. Do you have an accountant, bookkeeper, or coach that can guide me? And then we make an introduction to our members. So, yeah, that's how we do it.
Okay. And these members are trained by you?
Yep. So we have a small business here. There's 8 employees. I'm one of them. So there's 7 other folks here. And we do the training live. So we actually have, you can't see out my door here, but outside my office, there is 3 coaches, our internal coaches, who are working hand in hand with our members to really get them up to speed. We mandate that if you're an accountant, bookkeeper, or coach within our Profit First Professionals organization, that's the name of our organization, that you have to first run Profit First in your business. You know, like it's like the doctor saying you should really stop smoking while he lights a cigarette. Like, that makes no sense.
Absolutely.
So we mandate all of our members are running Profit First and abiding by it. Then and only then do they start rolling it out to their prospects. Under our guidance, we help them set it up and we go through all the intricacies. It takes about 6 months to a year and then they're fully on their own, still calling in for regular support and learning new trends and technology that we've developed. But the core principle is our members have to master Profit First for themselves first before they roll it out to their clientele.
Okay, fantastic. And at that point, they're eligible to be, you know, qualified to be.
Yeah, we call it certified. Yeah.
Yep. Certified. Oh, okay. Certificate. Yep. Okay. Fantastic. I love it. Now, this is without even an accounting degree. I guess this is why I was under the impression you were an accountant.
Oh, I don't have an accounting degree. I'm actually horrible at accounting. And people are first like, whoa, hold on. You built a system for accounting and you're horrible at it? Exactly. I'm so bad at accounting that I need a system that worked with who I naturally am. You see, traditional accounting says read your income statement, your cash flow statement, your profit and loss, your balance sheet, tie those in together, run metrics. And whatever you do in traditional accounting, don't look at your bank balance because that's not indicative of where your business stands. And what I did is I grabbed my phone every morning and say, do I have money or not? And run my business based upon my bank accounts, even though my accountant was telling me never, ever look at your bank balance, use those sheets. So my epiphany was, well, if this is what I naturally do, using my phone and look at my bank balance, why not set up a system that allows me to do that and drives the results I want? Profitability, making sure all my expenses are paid, pay for myself. You know, many owners never even pay themselves. I want all those things. How do I do it with my bank accounts? And so that's how Profit First came about. The beauty of Profit First is you don't need to know anything about accounting. You just need to know how to log into your bank account. And when you follow the system, you will know exactly where your business stands for all the different elements, profitability, how much you're being paid, your tax responsibilities, and so forth, just by logging to your bank account.
Okay, fantastic. Wow. You see, I just love this. I love it. you know, the way the doors that open for you when you put yourself in that position, right?
Yeah.
It's amazing. And here you are helping people without even an accounting degree, but you're helping accountants do a better job at what they do.
Yeah.
that's ironic.
The ultimate irony is during this process, I started interviewing accountants and I said, you know, give me the honest truth. How many of your clients are profitable? And the response consistently was like basically, you know, 5%, 10%, none of them. Very few clients were profitable. Well, accounting has existed for over 200 years now, modern accounting. I'm like, for 200 years, it isn't working for the vast majority of us. We need something new. And there are now accountants and bookkeepers and coaches who are saying, oh my gosh, this system, while it's very logical, doesn't work with the natural human behavior. And therefore, we need a new system. So these accountants and bookkeepers are adopting this, and sure enough, you know, driving profitability. And the best part about Profit First, by the way, is it doesn't negate traditional accounting. When you got to deep dive into your numbers, accounting is fantastic for it. It's that day-to-day cash management where the main problem is. It's the 5% fix we're talking about. You know, fix a few things. You fix this one part of our behavior by setting up a system that lets us, as entrepreneurs, continue to behave the same way we always have. Log into the bank account, but you fix that by pre-allocating money to its purpose, and sure enough, everything gets fixed. So that's why these accountants and bookkeepers are adopting it. It naturally fits in with old traditional accounting, but this little spin ensures profitability.
Okay, fantastic. I love it. So that's very innovative. That's very innovative that you would have come up with a system that works for the average person.
Right.
Who is not an accountant, who does not, I mean, here we are running our businesses, but we're not accountants. And so we don't understand all those ramifications and all those little things that are the ones that really make that profit first. And you saw the need and you developed yeah, something.
And I think all of us have this opportunity. The need was for me. I'm an average guy. Like I've had some successes, but I've had huge failures. And what I realized is I just needed something that worked with who I naturally am. And then I found out a lot of the world, when it comes to at least managing money, kind of behaves the same way I do. So I think for all of us entrepreneurs, we have an opportunity to identify challenges that we face ourselves. And then when we fix it for ourselves, realize that there's a lot of other people that need that same fix.
Right, right. Well, they say that the person with the solution has the key to the money.
Yeah. I'm into that.
You have to, right. Because, you have to provide solutions. You know, a business is not about what you like to do, but about what solutions you can provide for clients. Oh,
that's right. That's right.
And that's what you've done. That's exactly what you've done. You've provided solutions. Whether, through every book, you've dealt with a different part of a solution. And that's where you are. That's fantastic. I love it. I am so excited. I'm so happy to have met you in person, because I know you through your books, and finally get to meet you in person. And the only book that I haven't read is Profit First, which means when I get off, I'm going to Amazon and I'm picking it up. That's the only one that I haven't read. Isn't that something? But yeah, so I want to thank you. I want to thank you so much, Mike, for being here. I listen to your podcast.
Thank you.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I listen to your podcast. I love your energy, your positiveness. You're such a positive, happy person. And I love watching it. Even when I meet your stuff, your happy personality just comes right through.
Thank you.
And I really enjoy that. So, it's really great having you here. I want to thank you for giving me your time. I understand your time is very valuable. And I want to thank you. And maybe very soon we can have you back for your next book.
It would be an honor. It would be an honor. Well, thank you for having me. And if anyone else is interested, if I can share with Profit First or any of this stuff, just Google Profit First, or you can go on Amazon. Everything's on Amazon, Barnes & Nobles, and it's all up there.
Right. And these are all your books that are here behind you.
Yep.
And and we're going to have links to all of this.
Oh, thank you.
We'll have links to all of this and your website. So we will be doing that. So thank you so much. And
thank you.
I look forward to, I will have you back when your next book is published.
That'd be wonderful.
All right. Awesome. All right. Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
I want to thank you for being with us on Business Foresight, always creating strategies towards an extraordinary future. Remember, I'm here with you with strategies every Saturday. I'll see you next week.